Thank you for supporting WBEZ. You keep public media public. December gifts are among the most important because they set the tone for our reporting in 2026. Next year, we're doubling down on bringing you stories that arm you with the facts. This journalism relies on everyone contributing what they can. Join them today at wbez.org/donate.
WBEZ's nonprofit spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. We're listening to the title track of the latest project from LA-based singer-songwriter Warm Human. Turn by the lights out. I can't see nothing. It's called Hamartia. Hamartia comes from Greek tragedy and refers to the fatal flaw that ultimately causes the downfall of a hero or heroine. Warm Human just had a record release show at The Hideout, branded Warm Human's Haterween. I had the opportunity to chat with the mastermind behind Warm Human, Meredith Johnston, before the show. And I started by asking, why that name, Warm Human? Here's Meredith.
Oh, it's kind of unexciting. I had two names. I was going to either go with Warm Womb or Trash Human. And then I just took, was like, okay, what if we mix it up again and do Warm Human?
Well, thank the good Lord
you
chose. Yeah,
everybody says that.
Warm Human.
Everybody says that.
I just feel like I can relate so much more to that.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And it would be really hard to do this interview if you were Trash Human.
Trash Human. Or even Warm Womb. It's a little disconcerting.
That's a little tough.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Hamartia. It explores your own fatal flaw.
Mm-hmm.
And you say that that is self-hatred.
Yeah.
So I want to know how you came to this during the writing process.
I feel like it's more that my self-hatred came to me. But I think, you know, I just am always left with this. So I'm sober. And
congratulations.
Thank you. and like, I'm getting into sort of what they call midterm sobriety. I have 9 years of sobriety.
Okay.
And it's a thing where, you know, you start to sort of feel like maybe I'm better now, maybe I'm doing well, and then you get hit with these feelings of still not really liking yourself or lacking self-esteem. And that came up really hard for me at like year 6 and 7 of sobriety.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to write a record about it. I felt like it is such an accessible feeling, because mm-hmm. who doesn't struggle with that? I don't know if I would want to hang out with anybody that doesn't struggle with that, maybe.
With self-hatred?
With self-esteem and self-hatred.
Okay.
But like, if anybody's just blatantly, you know, confident all the time, I'm like, what's your secret? What are you hiding?
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
No, I hear you.
So yeah, I just wanted to, like, I use songwriting as like a purge, usually, of trying to exercise in the spooky way,
mm-hmm.
These emotions. And so it's just sort of formed that way, where I was like, oh, maybe halfway through the process, I realized all of these songs are really deeply about my own issues with myself.
So is this a reflection of that time? Are you looking back to year 6, year 7 of sobriety, or is it sort of a feeling that's still with you?
It's interesting. I mean, it's definitely a feeling that I have to deal with it every day. I have better coping mechanisms than I did then.
Okay.
And even before that, I had worse coping. You know, it's a journey. It's a progress.
It's a progress, yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, I still have issues with it. I still was like, don't say anything stupid in the interview. You know what I mean? but I'm better at least just sort of laughing it off.
Yes.
Or being patient with myself through
mm-hmm.
it. Yeah.
So you've said that the whole album is, quote, pop music for deranged people.
Yeah.
All right. You invite your listeners to reflect on their own fatal flaws mm-hmm. as well, kind of what you were just talking about. What was it like for you, though, to have to do that type of inner work
for this record? Because this is pretty deep. This is kind of as deep as it gets.
Yeah. I think it wasn't that hard because I was already doing the work outside of music. So it just sort of went in tandem with the work I was doing in therapy, the work that I was doing in my 12-step program, the work that I, you know, was sitting and thinking of when I was alone on my depression couch. It just was sort of like, this is the thing that's top of mind for me. Mm-hmm. So why not write about it instead of shy away from it or push it down further? Because I feel like that's essentially where most of problems come from is the repression of your issues.
And to your point earlier, a lot of us can relate.
Yeah. Right? Hopefully. I mean, maybe we'll not see. Hopefully.
No.
Yeah.
No, I think you would be correct in thinking that way and in making that assumption. Now, since reflecting on all of this, do you think self-hatred or pessimism can be a strength, or is it just a fatal flaw?
That's a really interesting question. I think self-hatred definitely makes me work very hard. It makes me very determined, and I don't know if I would have the creative output that I have if I didn't have that trait. Would I give it up? Yes. Mm-hmm. I would probably sacrifice the creative output of my life for liking myself more. But I do think it keeps me humble and it keeps me going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's hear some of that creativity at work. This is another track off the album called Love to Hate.
Sticks and stones may break some bones, but I can start a war with my tone. Take it down in three words. Think the worst, write the verse. Bring out the hearse, birth in reverse. What can I say? I love to hate. I think it's in my DNA. Read the burn book, I wrote the page. What can I say? I love to hate. I'm so bitter.
So as we were saying, I mean, you're talking about very, very deep things mm-hmm. on this album, struggles, you know, self-hatred, flaws, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you do it in a way that makes me want to dance.
That's good. That's what I wanted.
You know, the music just sounds lighter. It feels purposeful. It feels like you're doing that on purpose. But what's the inspiration for that sound?
I mean, part of it is working with the producer, Lennon, that I worked with, but also... It came from playing shows around Chicago and just wanting, I just wanted people to move more. And in my earlier work, all of it is very slow mm-hmm. and very dark. And I just felt like I was kind of bumming people out and wanted to find a happy medium of like, how do we get people to celebrate these things and dance through them?
Yeah.
Rather than feel punished for them in a way.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this body of work, it feels like not so much a departure from mm-hmm. what you've done in the past, but just like a new iteration or progression from it. Because you've got the influence from pop and from dance music.
Mm-hmm.
But I would love to hear your comparison to the previous album, Hometown Hero.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it definitely had more of that indie rock sound.
Totally. Yeah.
Why'd you go in this direction for Hamartia?
Well, so I started making electronic music. That was always, it's always what I've been drawn to. I love pop music. It's my favorite genre of music. And with Hometown Hero, like, it's funny because that was actually the departure. I wanted to make a guitar record, partly because the person that it was about really liked guitar music. And I felt like that was this weird ode to, it's a breakup record, so I thought it was like a weird ode to my ex. But I also, you know, Chicago, it's so, like the garage rock scene is so pervasive, and I felt like this little weird outlier making wannabe pop songs, going to shows.
Secretly.
Yeah, exactly, and like playing shows, and then it would be like me opening for three guitar bands. And I kind of wanted to have some work that I could, if I was ever playing a show like that, I'm like, okay, here's my guitar music. And also just to see like how it translated, how my songwriting translated to that type of music as well. Yeah,
that's interesting. But the project, I think it has a lot of range.
Mm-hmm.
So I want you to talk from how you got from a drum and bass track with the song Two Steps.
Mm-hmm. One step forward, two steps back.
And then a song with just vocals, guitar, and piano.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of your song Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Maybe is a total left turn at the end of the record. And I wanted it that way because I wanted
maybe
it to sort of be
I'd
like
have
this final lullaby. I feel like the record kind of spans out as every thought that I go through in a day.
Yeah.
And Two Steps is like this chaotic, climactic, like drum and bass, really hardcore with like Namdi on guitar doing these really angular guitar sounds. And it's just very tense and operatic. And then it settles into Maybe as if it's me at the end of the night thinking about my day and like closing my eyes and going through the thoughts of like maybe I'd be happier if I didn't have as much ambition or if I were a different person and it culminates in like am I being a baby? Maybe. And that's sort of the sum of like that's the end of the journey of the record is just sort of like am I thinking about myself a little too much after talking about myself solely for the entirety of the record.
Hey, we love it.
Yeah.
We love it.
Thank you.
But that just makes me want to get more into your mind and figure out how you work through a process like that. I mean, mm-hmm. what comes first? Is it the vibe of the song? Or do you just decide that you want to make a drum and bass song and then come the lyrics?
It's usually lyrics first.
It's
usually always lyrics and melody first. So with Two Steps especially, like I actually wrote that. It was really weird. I woke up to go to the airport at 5 a.m. and the first couple of lines came into my head.
Mm-hmm.
So I was outside of Midway with a voice memo, voice recording on my phone. And I was just recording the melody into my phone before I took a 5 a.m. flight.
So you could remember.
So I could remember it. And then I went home and I made like a skeleton of the song just with the melody. And then we built it out further to be the produced version of it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, time for another song. This is Father, Father.
I've been chasing ghosts in the living room, counting demons in.
So you can hear that warm human layering of vocals, right?
My signature, yeah.
Your signature vocal layering all throughout this song. Mm-hmm. What else can you share about Father, Father?
Father, Father might be my favorite song on the record. It's honestly hard for me to sing through without crying.
Mm. Why? What does it bring up?
It just brings up
childhood?
Yeah. And when I was a kid, I had these really big, I'm like worried to say this because I don't know if my mom's going to listen and be like, I didn't know this, but I had these like paranoid visions where it's all because of Spider-Man. It's all because of the movie Spider-Man. Willem Dafoe freaked me out so much in the Spider-Man movie. And then I came home and I started seeing him in the windows of my family home like all the time. And it was pervasive and it lasted until, it still happens if I go home sometimes.
Really?
Yeah, I'll still like, I don't like having the lights off in the house because the reflections in the windows, I will see people. And
so how do you cope in those moments?
Now, I mean, I'm better at it. I'm like, there's probably no one, and if they are, like, have fun. but when I was a little kid, it was terrifying, and I didn't really feel safe, like, leaving my room once it got dark, and, you know, the line in it where it says, like, blonde hair with little bows nailing curtains closed, like, mm-hmm. I did do that. I nailed my curtains shut, because I just didn't, I had felt like, with every sliver of window that I could see there, somebody could see me back.
Time for another song. This is My Moods.
I haven't met your mother yet. I think she'd hate me. Still waiting on a response to a text I sent at 7 a.m. And you told me that I've been being back here all over again, and I don't know why I even try. I asked for space and you gave me the moon. I'm riding shotgun with my jaded attitude.
So I love this little change of vibe mm-hmm. with this song. And we got to mention that this album is actually your first one with Super Records.
Yeah.
Right?
We love them.
Talk about what it's like working with those people and producing this project with your fellow musician and producer, mm-hmm. as you mentioned earlier, Linen,
yep.
a.k.a. Connor Mackey.
Yep. I'm actually staying at his place right now.
Oh, cool.
He's the best. I mean, Super is... I've had my eye on them for a really long time. I actually sent them my first, like, little tiny record that I made.
Yeah, we love Super Records here at Reset.
They're amazing. And Glenn just has the vision. Like, he is an incredibly hard worker and has a great mind for it. And it's been, he pushed me really hard. And at times I would fight back, but I don't think this record would be nearly anything like what it is now if it weren't for his like persistence and belief that it could be a big record.
Nice.
So I owe Super so much, and Connor too. Like, Connor was by my side through all of it and working so diligently on a project that he didn't know about pop music really.
Yeah.
And me trying to be like, we're going to do a little Sheryl Crow moment here, and then like trying to show him, be like, this is Soak Up the Sun. And like, he's like a classical, he went to school for classical oboe or bassoon.
Oh.
And I'm like, here's Sheryl Crow. who's like one of my biggest heroes. I love Sheryl Crow.
Shout out to Sheryl Crow.
Sheryl Crow's the best.
If she's listening.
Yeah. If you're there, Sheryl, call me. but, you know, it was just such a fun experiment of trying to mold this, take Connor's influences and his vision, my influences and my vision, and then gear it towards where, you know, Glenn was pushing us to go together. Mm. It was really... I grew a lot, and I'm so grateful.
Sounds like a match made in heaven.
Mm-hmm. It was good.
And I know you're based in L.A., mm-hmm. but can your fans in Chicago still expect to see you here?
Oh, yeah. I want to come back to Chicago all the time.
Promise?
Yeah, absolutely. I lived here for 14 years. I moved last year. Like, I still identify as being, as like, people like, where are you from, or where do you live? And I'm like, oh, Chicago. Oh, I don't, oh, I live in LA now.
Gotta
oh,
think
no.
about it.
Yeah, yeah, I have to think about it. So, yeah. Absolutely, I want to come back as much as I possibly can.
Well, we hope that you do. That is Meredith Johnston, who's the singer and songwriter behind Warm Human. Now, you can check out their new album, Hamartia, wherever you get your music, and you can see her perform at The Hideout tonight. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Let's go out on one more song. This is, I gotta say, my personal favorite, Mercy Me.
Yeah,
pray for their sanity, but the garden's overgrown. Nowhere to plant the seed.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Micah Yason and mixed by Ethan Schwab.
Reset catches up with musicians, artists, and culture makers. If this sounds like what you're looking for, make sure to check out our full archive of conversations at wbez.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you later.
Bodies in ruin, hide and seize the crowds with my moods, and everything's so goddamn amusing, but I don't get the joke. Rocks in my stomach, sinking feeling, can't get above it. Drinking cost me so much, but I loved my whiskey with some coke.
My name is Donald. I live on the southeast side of Chicago. I support WBEZ because of the balanced reporting and covering so much about an issue as opposed to just the few seconds that you may hear on most other news outlets. It matters to me to hear the story more completely